Today our reading is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and we're going to read chapter 4, verses 13 through 5, chapter 5, verse 1. Before we do that, I invite you to pray with me as we ask that God would truly speak to all of us this morning. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for faith, for trust. It's a gift you give us. And we put our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and we now trust that your word will speak to each and every one of us. And I pray that your Spirit will open our hearts, open our minds, open our lives to be ready and willing and able to simply receive your word and to trust your word. I pray that you will speak to each and every one of us now. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, start at verse 13. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed, and so I spoke, we also believe, and so we speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At the end of life, we will all go home. And it won't be a tiny house or a spacious mansion. Instead, for those who believe, it'll be to a house that is eternal in heaven. The Apostle Paul was really a master builder. In his first letter to the Corinthians, he says, God was kind and let me become an expert builder. He says, I laid a foundation on which others have built. And what he believed was that each builder must choose with care how to build, whether it's with gold or silver or precious stones or wood or hay and straw. But in any good Christian construction project, he says the foundation is Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the only solid foundation. Now, in the city of Detroit, there's a group called CAS Community Social Services. And one of the things they do is they are building a development of tiny homes. They're building it on a Christian foundation, so to speak. They're building these tiny little homes to provide housing for people in need. And each house is a single family home of about 250 to 400 square feet. And it sits on its own lot with a lawn. Those of you who have the app going, I mean, that picture you see at the top is actually a picture of one of these tiny homes that they built, beautiful little homes. And yes, the homes are very small, about 1/7 the size of the average home. And they do have a front porch or a rear deck that add a little bit of living space. And those who get to move into the homes are single people and families or couples with who are living on very little income, senior citizens or students with a lot of student debt, other young people who have aged out of foster care, previously homeless or incarcerated people. And CAS are building these homes on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And they give people some dignity. And the residents rent these houses to eventually own them. The rent is the same amount as the square footage. So if your house is 250 square feet, you pay $250 a month. And they believe that this investment fosters pride and responsibility. I guess you could say for those who live in them, these little houses are really buildings from God. In a second letter to the Corinthians, which is our passage for this morning, Paul resumes his construction theme. And he continues to build with care on the foundation of Jesus Christ. But instead of focusing on the construction of a Christian community in Corinth, he draws our attention to what God is raising up in us. We know, he says in verse 14, that God raised the Lord Jesus to life. And just as God raised Jesus, he will also raise us to life. And then he will bring us into his presence. It doesn't focus on the raising of walls to give us shelter in this life. He's pointing us toward the resurrection instead, which will raise us into everlasting life. And so Paul's focus is on this eternal home for us. So there is this neuroscientist by the name of Nicole Gravagna, and she has developed a list of six human needs. And they based, according to her, on 75 years of psychology and neuroscience and sociology. So what do you think is on the top of the list of these human needs? Love? Human contact? Well, at the top of the list, according to her, is food. Because food provides us with calories and a variety of nutrients. What do you think comes next? Shelter? Well, she says water. Next comes water. Water gives the body the ability to process food and remove wastes. And then the third most important need is shelter. Because shelter protects the human body from the blazing sun and the freezing temperatures and wind and rain. And that's why the tiny homes of Detroit are so important, because they protect human skin and organs from extreme temperatures. And number four on the list is sleep. And you sleep best in the protection of a shelter. Now, I don't think you're really surprised by these top four human needs, because we all know really how important it is to have food and water and shelter and sleep. You know, Jesus himself commands us to give food to the hungry and drink to the thirsty. He says in Matthew 25, 35, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. How? When you do this for others, you're doing it for me, he says. But in his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul wants us to look past these earthly needs. And he wants us to focus on the resurrection that God is offering us as we follow the path of Jesus. It says, so we do not lose heart, even though our outer nature is wasting away. Our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, for what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. You see, our outer nature is going to waste away. Whether it's our physical body, maintained by food and water and sleep, or the physical home that provides shelter for our bodies, whether we live in a mansion made of stone or a tiny home constructed of wood, it will not last forever. And that's why he says in chapter 5:1, for we know that when this tent we live in now is taken down, when we die and when we leave these bodies, we will have wonderful new bodies in heaven, homes that will be ours forevermore, made for us by God himself and not by human hands. It says at the end of our life, our body and our home are nothing more than an earthly tent. No matter how well it is built, it will be destroyed. And at that point, we move into a building from God, eternal in the heavens. I said earlier that Paul was really a master, skilled builder. In fact, when he arrived in Corinth, he stayed with a married couple named Aquila and Priscilla. And the book of Acts tells us that they worked together, and by trade, they were tent makers. So Paul earned his living by making tents in Corinth, these temporary earthly shelters. He knew that people needed shelter, and he would probably approve of these tiny homes that they are building in Detroit today. Innovative solutions to the affordable housing problem in many communities. And he probably would be okay also with the fancy kitchens and the luxurious bathrooms and bonus rooms as well that are popular in new home construction. Probably be okay with that. But he would want us to remember that no matter where we live, our time on earth is transient. It's fleeting. It is temporary. And we should focus on the building from God that'll be our eternal home. Dr. Kravagna, remember, identified a list of 6 human needs, right? So I've mentioned 4 of them to you. But what are the last 2? One of them is something somebody mentioned here. She says, we also have a need for other people. We have a need for other people, and we have a need for novelty. So we have this need for other people in our lives. When we have a regular connection to others, it allows us to maintain a sense of well-being. Because you see, we cannot thrive in isolation. It's okay to hide in a huge McMansion, but it's not really a healthy way to live. It's better to sit on the porch of a tiny home and say hello to your friends, or to join a small group of believers at church, or to sing in a choir, or work alongside others in a community project, to belong to a community, a fellowship of believers. Because being connected to other people is key to our emotional and our spiritual health. And Paul's words to the Corinthians are in harmony with these last 2 of the six human needs, I think. He says in 12:27, 1 Corinthians 12:27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And God wants for his body, his people, to live in harmony, and that the members of his body will care for each other. Because one of our greatest needs is other people. God made us. He knows us. And so he has placed us in a community called the body of Christ. But that's not all. The sixth and final human need is novelty. Dr. Kravagna says novelty creates the opportunity to learn and also the ability to fail. And if you don't have regular novelty in your life, your motivation starts to wane and disappear. And you lose a healthy sense of well-being. Now, since novelty is really anything that is new, anything that is original or unusual, I think Paul would connect novelty to our eventual home, a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Because when it comes to buildings, there's really nothing more novel than that, if you think about it. Yes, our final human need is having something new, having something original, something unusual to pursue. And that's why Paul says we need to look forward with faith and hope. So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys in heaven, which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. So we look forward to something new. And it's not temporary, but it is eternal. So what have we learned? What do these buildings tell us about what is essential to life? You know, life on earth, but also life in heaven. Well, first we are challenged to care for each other in this life. God wants us to work together to make sure that everyone has adequate food and water and shelter and sleep. And that's what Paul wanted for the members of the church in Corinth. Harmony amongst the members so that all the members would care for one another. And it's the same for us. Us caring for one another in Christ's love. Remember, all of God's commandments are summed up in the words, love your neighbor as yourself. But at the same time, what we need to realize is that everything in this world, everything, will eventually pass away. The things of this world is not going to last forever. So we need to live by faith. Faith in what is unseen. And we should focus on the building from God that is eternal in the heavens. And so what it means is that you need to trust Jesus more than you trust the leaders of this world. What it means is that instead of pursuing only personal success, you also work for the common good of all people. It means you value those things that cannot be seen, things that are eternal, things like honesty, and integrity, and sacrifice, and love. You value those things more than the things of this world that can be seen. Because at the end of life, we will all go home. And it won't be to a tiny home or a spacious mansion. Instead, it will be to a house that's not made with hands. It will be a building from God, a home made for us by God Himself, an eternal home. So get ready for it. Amen. Let us pray. Most holy God, we thank you for the way in which you created us, this need for you, this need for others. And we thank you for your provision. Really, we are all blessed with enough food and water and shelter and sleep. We have others in our lives. We have this opportunity to be the body of Christ. And we have this new vision, this longing, this anticipation for our building, our house in heaven. But we know that not everybody has that. So we pray that your Spirit will just enable us to be concerned and to have compassion for others who are not blessed with these basic human needs, that you will touch our hearts so that we will care for them as we care for one another. And know that ultimately you will bless us with the things that are not from this world. Most importantly, an eternal home with you in heaven. And we praise you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.